Happy Tuesday and welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. It is December 13th, and this is the day that I've had circled on my calendar for a long time. Well, my virtual calendar, because, I don't know, not that many people have a real calendar anymore. But it is my poker tournament coming back. Tonight is the night, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, here at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, where I am doing the show from right now. I hope to see a lot of you out here tonight. There will be $10,000 guaranteed in the prize pool, and it's just $150 to buy in. Big time money to be won. And as a nice little sweetener, if you get lucky and knock me out, even though I think I'm going to win my own poker tournament tonight, if you do knock me out, I am going to give you seats on the glass, two seats on the glass to see the Panthers and Rangers on New Year's Day at the FLA Live Arena with lounge access, drinks, food, the whole deal. So I'm really looking forward to tonight, and I'm glad to be here right now in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I've had this poker tournament for 9 years, but then during the pandemic, everything shut down. But now it is back, and here at the Hard Rock, one of my absolute favorite places to be in South Florida. And as you know, I'm a traveler. I'm always on planes. I'm always going to great places. I'm always in
Colombia!
I also go to Costa Rica. I go to
Colombia!
Oh, did I say that already? I go to Las Vegas. Then I go back to
Colombia!
I'm everywhere. And I can tell you that the Hard Rock here in Hollywood, it is right there, top notch, a great place to be. So to be able to have my poker tournament here at a location like this, it is off the charts. And it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and better and better. So I'm really pumped to see a lot of you tonight. Come hang out. Hopefully you win some money, just not mine. I don't want you to take my chips. But there's second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place. There's going to be a lot of people paid out here tonight. So I really hope to see you here at the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. For those of you that follow me on social media, on Instagram, you saw that I flew in last night. Took American Airlines, as always, from Medellin to Miami, because how could I miss my own poker tournament? No way in the world. Of course, I had to be here for it. So normally, I would talk for a good, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes, tell you everything going on before the hour officially begins, but I have a lot to get to today. I feel like today is going to be historic because I'm going to win my own poker tournament, and we are going to shuffle up and deal, not only at 6 p.m. tonight here in the poker room, but I believe the earliest in the hour that I have ever done it in 15 years of this show. There's many things I need to discuss Miami Dolphins related, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I really hate to say this, but I gotta tell you my feeling. Sometimes I don't have a strong opinion. And I'll be honest about it. You know, this show is always all about
honesty.
But I do have a strong opinion for what's coming up on Saturday. I am not saying that the Miami Dolphins season should be thrown away. I am not saying that the Miami Dolphins are not going to get a wild card. But what I am saying is I do believe the Dolphins will get destroyed Saturday night in Buffalo. I say that because here I sit, and I'm in the poker room right now, but it really doesn't matter where I am. Because I sit here and I'm processing yet again what I saw on Sunday night. And then I start looking ahead to Saturday night's game. And I have zero belief that the Miami Dolphins are going to be able to go to Buffalo and beat the Bills. I have no belief whatsoever. This team right now, they're off track. they didn't just run into tough competition. Look, running into tough competition happens. I think the 49ers would have beat the Dolphins even if Miami played a great game. That's just because the 49ers are a top-notch team. But the Los Angeles Chargers, the Chargers as a team, they're okay. Justin Herbert is really good. But the overall Chargers team, they're just okay. Their defense is weak. Sunday night, their defense was injured too. And they still beat the Miami Dolphins. And if it wasn't for one fluke play, that game could have been so much worse. I always start with the offense. The big topic always seems to be Tua and the Dolphins' offense. But I want to discuss a little bit more the Miami Dolphins' defense. Before the season, I had always said my concern when they brought Mike McDaniel in. Not that I'm saying they shouldn't have brought him in. I'm not changing my mind about that. But my concern when they brought him in was that they were going to revamp the offense, which definitely needed to happen. They were going to boost up Tua's confidence, which definitely needed to happen. They brought in Tyreek, so they're giving Tua playmakers. That needed to happen. But what about the defensive side of the ball? They brought back Josh Boyer. And bringing back Boyer basically is saying, okay, we're just going to run it back defensively. We're going to do defensively the exact same thing. And I was concerned that there would be some slippage. And I think you could say there absolutely has been some slippage. I know when you look at the Dolphins' defense during the Brian Flores years, there were schemes put in. There was times where Flores would go into his bag of tricks and the Dolphins' defense would work out well. But overall, the Dolphins' defense wasn't all that good, even under Brian Flores. You think back last year to that game in Tennessee where the Dolphins still had a shot and the defense laid an egg. So there was always concern within the Dolphins' defense. And then when you get rid of Brian Flores, but you're keeping Josh Boyer, I was just afraid that there would be some slippage. And there has been. Look, Mike McDaniel was asked yesterday if we're going to be seeing Byron Jones this season. He said, well, at this point, it would be a pleasant surprise. I've been telling you that since week one or even before week one. I didn't think Byron Jones would play all year. I said I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. And everyone else is saying locally, oh, he's going to be out just 4 weeks or maybe just a few more weeks than that. But no, he hasn't played all year and he's not going to play this season. And not having Byron Jones has really set off a chain reaction. Think about how important a player Byron Jones is. He's your number one lockdown corner. So he's not going to get a lot of interceptions, as we had seen, but he locks down that number one, so they're not throwing. The opponent is not throwing to that number one receiver. And that was forcing quarterbacks to throw at Xavier Howard. Xavier Howard was guarding number two wide receivers. And we saw that Xavier Howard feasted off of that. This year, does it look to you like Xavier Howard is scaring anyone? I would say it's a combination of injuries and also not having Byron Jones on the other side. Xavier Howard has not been the same player this year. Offenses are going at Xavier, and they're getting results. That's why they keep going at him. Some of the schemes by Josh Boyer, you look at the game Sunday night, they were so bad. The one that a lot of you pointed out, the third and long, right before the half, seven guys standing in the end zone. That's not some exaggeration. There were literally four guys rushing the passer and seven guys guarding the end zone, which meant, okay, we're going to do a screen pass, and that set up a backbreaking touchdown. I don't even know how Mike McDaniel allowed that to happen. You got to remember, Mike McDaniel's at the top. So when we rip Josh Boyer for calling that, as we should, You got to remember, Mike McDaniel, he's got a headset on. Mike McDaniel hears everything that's happening. He's the head coach. And when you're the head coach, you have veto power. Mike McDaniel could say, nope, we're not doing that. And he should have said that. I know Mike McDaniel is an offensive guy, but as an offensive-minded coach, Mike McDaniel can ask himself how happy he would be on 3rd and 17 if he saw 7 guys lined up in the end zone. You know how many plays that opens up for him to go to? So at that point, Mike McDaniel has got to step in there. And I felt in that game there were lots of rookie moments that Mike McDaniel had. Everybody wants to crush Tua, but let's be fair. Let's talk about everyone. I would say Mike McDaniel had his worst coach game of the season. There were bad defensive decisions. There was no ability to establish the run. He couldn't find anything to get Tua comfortable. Overall, it was a horrible effort. And it happened in a game that the Miami Dolphins really needed to win. Expectations around South Florida had gotten really high. And maybe I fell into it. I don't blame Dolphins fans. I don't blame myself. People here are starving for the Miami Dolphins to be good. I am starving for the Dolphins to be interesting, because that's great for this show. It's great for fans. It's great for all of you. It's great for all of South Florida. So when the Dolphins started fast, I think everyone went to, okay, you got a brand new head coach. This team, they look different. They play different. They're exciting. This offense is very fast strike. It reminds you of one of the Dan Marino quarterback teams. Everything was working. What we weren't counting on was, okay, year one, Mike McDaniel comes out like a gangbuster, and coaches around the league, you know, they're pretty good. Them figuring out what's going on with this Dolphins offense, we weren't counting on that. But then San Francisco came. And Kyle Shanahan, who Mike McDaniel worked under, the 49ers kind of created a blueprint of how to beat Mike McDaniel, how to beat this Dolphins team. And that, more than anything, is why I am concerned and think the Dolphins don't stand a chance on Saturday night. They got a short turnaround. They're going from the West Coast to a Saturday night game where they'll fly to Buffalo Friday if they can even land on Friday because of the weather. So the Dolphins touch down Monday at like 6 a.m. And then just 4 days later, they're going to fly to go to Buffalo for a night game in the cold. If I've ever seen a scheduled loss, it's this one. You combine everything going on with what's been happening to this team over the past 2 or 3 weeks, the formula to beat them now, it's out there. It's known. You get physical as heck with the wide receivers. You cut off the middle of the field. Miami's offensive line is eh. Their running game is eh. So when the opponents are stopping those things, what are the Miami Dolphins able to do? Not a whole lot. And that's what we witnessed against the 49ers. That's what we witnessed against the Chargers. And unless Mike McDaniel changes something quickly, that's what we're going to witness Saturday night in Buffalo. And now we get all of these opinions, again, about Tua. People changing their mind. I'll get to that conversation in just a minute. Something else on your mind right now, though, may be dental work that you need done. That's why I tell you all of the time about the Costa Rica Dental Team, because they're going to save you 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I can tell you firsthand the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch. Maybe you need crowns, veneers, implants, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team, they're going to take great care of you and save you a fortune. So check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. Here we go with all these Tua opinions again. But I understand them. If I said Tua is a system quarterback, would you see that as an insult? I don't see it as an insult. When a system is created around Tua's skill set, I don't see that as an insult. He's really good. And you know what? It worked for the first 8 wins this season, didn't it? Tua has pinpoint accuracy. When he's got time, he's got the weapons. He's really good. And I don't say that as a knock on him. Saying he's a system quarterback isn't saying he stinks. It's not questioning his arm strength. He could hit the deep ball just fine, but Tua's not Dan Marino. He's not Tom Brady. He needs help. He's had help. He had it for much of the first half of the season, and right now he's going to need Mike McDaniel's help. Is Mike McDaniel going to be able to reinvent this Dolphins offense at least a little bit to counter this so-called book on stopping this Miami team? And I'm concerned about it. The Chargers did it. The 49ers did it. The Bills, they're going to do it. What are the Dolphins going to do to counter? The easy answer would be, all right, figure out how to run the football. You don't got to run, but just run like more than they're running now and be successful when you're running. If the Dolphins figure out how to run the ball, they can create more space for their playmakers. They can keep defenses more honest, and they can put Tua in more manageable situations. But the Dolphins right now, not just going up against Buffalo Saturday night, but overall the rest of the year, I'm concerned about them. Tyreek Hill, right now, he's banged up. I don't care what anybody says, what anyone in that organization is saying. Oh, yeah, he'll be fine. He's banged up. He's not going to be 100% for that Bills game. And the dude's a freak of nature. He's the best player in that offense. The Dolphins might have been shut out if not for those two ridiculous plays by Tyreek Sunday night. This team right now is just in a bad spot. I have a lot more to say about this Dolphins team, and I know Uncle Luke does too. He's going to join me in just a minute. And you guys should join me not only here at my poker tournament one day, but also at Gulfstream Park. I love going to Gulfstream Park. You can make a 10 or 20 cent wager at Gulfstream Park and make thousands of dollars. Live racing going on at Gulfstream Park every Wednesday through Sunday. It is the Sunshine Meet happening right now at Gulfstream Park, and turf racing is back. I love any type of horse racing, but the turf racing, that's like extra level. Really exciting action when those horses get on that grass. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I like going to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms, get myself a table, have a great meal, watch the races live right in front of me, and of course, I wager some. And like I said, 10 or 20 cents could make you thousands of dollars. Head on out to Gulfstream Park, particularly any live race day, Wednesday through Sunday. Turf racing is back right now in our own backyard at Gulfstream Park. Here on this Tuesday afternoon, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell joins us here on the Andy Slater Show. Luke, I want to get to the Dolphins, but first I got to talk about these pictures you're posting eating by yourself. You enjoy going to eat by yourself?
Yes, I enjoy spending time with myself, and I recommend that to everybody. You know, we spend time with everybody else. We give everybody else time. We go out and eat and dine. But then, you know, if you spend time with yourself, you know, and be able to sit there and wind down, that's a beautiful thing. You got to try it sometime.
So when you're dining by yourself, do you sit at the bar? You sit at a table? Which one?
I sit at the bar. Sometimes I sit at the table, but you know, I'm all over the place. If you know, at the bar you meet different people. You know, at the bar you'll sit there, and if you want to meet some different people that are not your friends, just total strangers, you sit at the bar. But if you don't want to be bothered, then you sit at a table.
And then you just go on Twitter on your phone and watch how people are ripping Tua. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, yes. And then you'll meet a person at the bar, perfect stranger, women or men, and you'll hear them rip to them and get their opinion. You know, it's good to talk to strangers. The only time I get to do that is when I'm on an airplane. If you really think about when do you get to talk to somebody that's a total stranger other than your friend, it's, you know, it's either on social media, which, you know, you don't know who you're talking to, or just, you know, on the airplane.
See, you don't strike me as the type of guy, Luke, that likes to talk to people on airplanes, though, because I see you as someone with the sunglasses on, your headphones on.
Yes.
Yeah, like you're in disguise and you're just kind of chilling by yourself.
Yes. I'll go straight to sleep. Put my glasses on, put a mask on. You know, I'm still wearing masks on the plane. The mask is the perfect disguise. You don't have to worry about nobody stopping you or taking picture of you while you're sleeping and things like that.
So, Luke, the discussion about the Miami Dolphins has been big here on the show, as it should be. Do you, Uncle Luke, think the Miami Dolphins have been put to sleep? Or, I mean, where are you with this team right now after what just happened the past 2 weeks?
Well, the thing is, you know, the thing is the Dolphins have been exposed, you know, by the 49ers, because obviously the 49ers run a similar offense and everybody in the league knows it's similar. Even though Mike McDaniels has been with Shanahan for all these years, they run a similar offense, Andy. And what people need to know, you know, McDaniels learned everything from the Shanahan family. When you look at the Dolphins' offense, McDaniels is not running the entire Shanahan offense that he learned, that he knows. McDaniels is running something that fits Tua perfect, because if you look at Shanahan, the offense that they run on a traditional basis is really run-oriented and then pass second. So McDaniels has constructed an offense built around Tua, which is not a bad thing, but not traditionally what he's accustomed to running. So now what you have is the 49ers exposing the offense. Then they just, you know, the last team that they played, which is the Chargers, use the same game plan. Now you're going to see the Buffalo Bills use the same game plan where they drop the linebackers deep in the middle of the field and take away the under routes. And so that's why you had a situation where Jaylen Waddle didn't have but one catch, and that they just had to they just throw the out pass just to give him one catch, so the headlines don't say that Tua never connected with Jaylen Waddle. You know what I'm saying? So the Dolphins are really exposed, and to answer the question, this game right here is going to determine whether they are able to make the adjustments to what teams are doing to them, and that'll tell you whether or not they're going to move forward.
But you don't expect
the season's over.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. You don't expect them to win this game. I don't think a lot of people expect them to win this game, but when you say if they don't win this game, the season is over in a sense of what? They get the wild card and they lose, or what's your definition of over?
If they lose this game, they're going to possibly be – this. They got four games. If they lose this game, they may not win another game for the rest of the year. They'll probably win one game out of these last four games. That's over. Season done. They're done.
Okay, but hold on.
If they backdoor in the playoff, they're going to be out in the first round.
But let me stop you there.
Able to make the adjustment.
Let me stop you there.
Okay.
So while you may say, and maybe in the end you're right, while Uncle Luke says, all right, if they lose this game against Buffalo, maybe they win one more game the rest of the year. The reason for them not winning a lot the rest of the year in your mind would be because of what? Why would they lose all of these games towards the end?
Because of Tua and the offense.
But you're a head football coach. I mean, shouldn't
McDaniels? Let me tell you, McDaniels have to commit to the run. If he commits to the run, he can fix this thing real easy. But they're forcing them. You got an injured cheetah. He's injured.
Yeah.
I said this on your show at the beginning of the year. I said he's not going to last a whole year at the rate that they're running him. They're running him like as if he got a radiator connected to him. You know, that's too much production for one guy. You know, and those guys, that smaller built guys, they have a tendency of getting injured. So this guy's injured right now. They better pray to God that he's able to play in Buffalo, with that type of injury, with that type of weather, they don't mix, Slater, on a short week. They just got in town. I mean, what?
Yeah.
7 o'clock. They don't have an off day. but then now turn around and play on a Saturday. So the adjustment portion of that is going to be difficult. How much production you get out of Cheetah? I mean, you know, again, McDaniels got to come up with something real fast, real quick. And I don't think with this quarterback, he's going to be able to make those kind of adjustments. You know, this quarterback fits what they do right now. He's not Justin Herbert that he could be able to, you know, you could be able to change the offense within the year. They can't change what they do.
So
because everything has been tailored around Tua, and now people have exposed it. And so that is why Tua is not going to be productive.
So where
are we? Only hope and prayer if they run.
Where are we with Tua now? Because the discussion was, oh, he's not the guy. And then you could clearly see he is the guy. And now are you saying he's not the guy?
Slater, you're the guy. You're the guy at the beginning of the year when you have a new head coach, a new offensive system, and then nobody knows what you're going to throw at them. And you're playing mediocre teams. Now everybody gets a book on you. This is a game of adjustments throughout the year. So now they got a book on Tua and this offense. Now when you get around this time of year, people have a lot of film to break down, a lot of intel, and then before you know it, you'll see a San Francisco-type game where they'll expose the offense. Now you go back and make the adjustments. They made the adjustments. It got exposed again. They really got one touchdown out of this offense. They got one touchdown out of this offense. I mean, the go route, that was a blown coverage. The Cheetah picking the ball up, the fumble and running with it, that was a fluke play. They got one touchdown. So they got super exposed in the first and the last game. They got shut down. And now you're talking about going to Buffalo and winning? I mean, on a short week, it's going to be rough. I mean, it's going to be rough for the Dolphins.
The only
saving grace is not going to be Tua. It's going to be if McDaniels decide to run the ball. He has to run the ball. If he don't run the ball, then they're going to get, you know, enough with this trying to make Tua the MVP. You know what I'm saying? And that's what teams have a tendency of doing. When they got a quarterback in the MVP conversation, they get away from the things that they need to really be doing versus, you know, worrying about the player.
Yeah, but you know, if this team just runs the ball, their defense isn't good enough to withstand, a Bills offense. So, I mean, you can't just run the ball.
No, I'm not saying run the ball. I'm saying have much more of a balanced attack.
Okay.
Yeah. When you got Cheetah, you automatically in a cover two situation. You got to have a safety cover him over the top, and you got to have another safety to cover over the top on the other side of the field. So now that leaves six people in the box. So you're able to run the ball when you have a guy like Cheetah that's demanding a cover two look. That's less people in the box, and that should enable you to run the ball. And that's why you see the Dolphins have success. If you look at the Dolphins' average per carry, I guarantee you, I ain't even looked at it. It's got to be around 4 to 5 yards a carry, which is over the average carry per carry per team. They ain't doing it.
Uncle Lou, they're gonna do it. Luther Campbell, I don't know. Maybe the Dolphins will surprise us on Saturday night. I mean, that's kind of what it's turned into now. Nobody expects them to win, but if they don't, like you said, I mean, the wheels, they might be falling off.
What's the spread?
Buffalo at last check was 6.5. So
6.5.
I don't know what the line is in the barbershop, though, or the cigar bar.
But let me ask you, you've been on the radio all week, and you said the conversations about the Dolphins. Have the conversation ever been about Brian Flores being right because the two quarterbacks played the last game? The guy who Brian Flores wanted and the guy the Dolphins wanted. And the guy that Brian Flores wanted, he won the game, just so everybody knows. Not to bring up bad things, but
so
Brian
no,
Flores
the,
was right.
The conversation hasn't been about Flores in that sense. It's more been about look at the Miami Dolphins defensive
the train
schemes.
Wreck.
Well, yeah. And just so you know, I did say at last check 6.5. But I just looked again, and at your local barber shop, it is 7.5 buffalo.
7.5.
Seven. You know.
And let me. Why are you doing a show at the poker table? Did your radio station allow you to do this?
Well, because
gamble, like,
I'm not
on the air.
I'm not in the middle of a poker game right now. It's actually going on in front of me, but I have my poker tournament tonight right here in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, and I'm still waiting for you to come play in my tournament.
I don't know how to play poker. I know how to play poker, but not poker.
Well, you can come on a trip with me for that. I mean, there's different variations, but you got to get you got to get to my poker tournament here at the Hard Rock. Come on, Luke.
No problem. I'll come stop by.
One of these years.
Is there some girls? It's going to be some girls there.
Yeah, they have some female poker players and also dealers. Yeah, you'll have a good time here. It's the Hard Rock.
I'm getting ready to have a birthday.
Next week.
Me and you both. What you gonna do? What you gonna do for your birthday, Andy? Are you gonna have like a bunch of girls come over? Are you invited to that party?
Wait a minute, Luke. That's a rookie move. Veterans do that any day of the week. Doesn't have to be on your birthday. Oh, I mean, come on, man. Oh, you think I need my birthday for
this? I love it. I thought you was gonna do like a eyes wide shut birthday party.
You ain't talking to an amateur here, man. Come on.
Hey, what? You need to do an eyes wide shut birthday party.
I just call that a Thursday.
Will you invite some of your lucky listeners?
Birthday? I call that a Thursday. Come on, man.
Hey, Andy, before you go, let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
How many people after your show, how many people tweet you to say, don't bring Luther on no more?
Well, first of all, I normally get them via DM because those people that send those messages don't want to be seen publicly, so they do it privately. And when I get those messages, it usually has to do with race. They're like, the racist is on. So
why is this? I just wanted the audience to know we're very transparent here, and yes. I want people to know that you are being acknowledged when you send a tweet DM. You got no heart, you're gutless, and talk about, don't call me a racist. But they can call me whatever they want to call me. Just spell my name right.
Exactly. Uncle Luke, I'll see you soon, buddy, and happy early birthday.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Take care. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell. Yeah, if you want to send me messages on Twitter about anyone I bring on the show, just send them publicly. I mean, I don't have a problem with DMs, but it's like if you want to say something about somebody, say that doing it in the DM is like doing it behind somebody's back. So you could feel however you want to feel. It's totally up to you, of course. Now, if you have something to celebrate, you just heard Uncle Luke talking about, you should head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you could be surrounded by gorgeous women who come from all over the world. That is why Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club. Dean's Gold is open every single day from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. You want to go over there tonight on a Tuesday or even early Wednesday morning? Go for it. You will have yourself such a fantastic time. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Surround yourself with beautiful women who come from all over the world. There is only one building in South Florida you could do that. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. All right, so here I am at the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I'm ready for my tournament tonight. Tony Burns, he is the director of poker marketing for Seminole Hard Rock and all of the Seminole casinos, I think all around the world. Tony, where are you traveling all the time? Where's my tournament going to be next? Is it going to be in Dubai, Cincinnati, Vegas? What are we talking about?
Well, as much as you travel, I think we should have one. Is there a location in Colombia that we had?
If there was, there would definitely be a tournament there. Tonight is the first Slater Scoops tournament right here in your poker room. And I talk about your poker room here all the time. and a lot of people are going to be showing up here tonight from this audience who may not have been here before. How did you guys put this thing together, man?
Well, you know, Andy, your relationship with, you know, Seminole Gaming and poker, you know, dates back to, you know, the days of Coconut Creek, you know, 7-8 years ago. And we're excited to have you come back here to the Seminole Hard Rock in Hollywood and put back on a monthly event. You know, the pandemic kind of messed us up, gave us a little hiccup, but glad we were able to kick things back off again and excited for tonight's event.
I'm really excited for it, too, because what's going to be so great about it, Tony, you may not know this. Maybe I'll surprise you here, is that I'm going to win the first one here. So, I mean, that's going to make it even bigger. I expect some email to go out tomorrow to all the poker players how I won my own poker tournament. You probably weren't aware that was going to happen, were you?
No, I wasn't aware. And, I, you know, if you win the first one, then the investigation bells go off. So, you know, at least, I mean, you're good for a fifth, right, Andy?
I mean, look, I mentioned it here on the show with you. It would be the first one here that I win. There would probably be some investigation going into what happens here tonight, but it's going to be an awesome event. 6 p.m. cards will be in the air. And I do thank you, Tony, and your entire team, Bill Mason, and everyone here at the Hard Rock Poker Room, which is a beautiful room that I'm sitting in here doing the show right now. You guys just had a great event, and I played in a couple of the events in it too, in the ballroom, and you have more coming up next month. How much money was really given away? Because I was talking about millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, the event, the Rock and Roll Poker Open, was a great success. You know, with all the millions of dollars that were guaranteed, I think it was almost three times that was given away. So, just once again, another great event for Bill Mason, Jason Heidenthal, and the entire Seminole Hard Rock property. Looking forward, you know, to the next one. Lucky Hearts is right around the corner, less than a month away.
Tony, what do you say to somebody like Uncle Luke? I just had Uncle Luke on. We were talking about the Dolphins and everything, but I told him about my poker tournament, and I told him to come on out, and he's like, Andy, I don't know how to play poker. So what do you say to somebody who wants to come on out to play poker either tonight or one of my tournaments or any time here at the Hard Rock, but they're really not sure how to play? You just tell them to go to YouTube and study up?
I mean, there's so many different tools out there now. You know, when I first got into poker, it was 20 years ago. And, you know, bar poker was popular at the time. Obviously, you know, people could play on the .com sites. You know, since then, Black Friday, you know, doesn't make that as easy for players to go online. But there are still apps, you know, plenty of games out there that you can learn the basics. You know, also, for anybody that wants to come into the casino, I tell them to start out with, like, limit poker. You know, Seminole Casino, Coconut Creek, they have, you know, straight two. You know, you prefer to learn no limit, start out at 1-2 no limit, you know, at Hollywood, and, you know, buying for $100. And, you know, I tell people to sit back and watch as well. You know, if you don't want to necessarily sit down immediately, come with a friend. And if they allow you to, you know, sit in the area, you know, just watch and observe. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, is to watch in the beginning. Like you said, there is tons of content out there on YouTube. So, you know, 20 years later, there's so many other, so many valuable tools out there for players that are aspiring to become poker players to view and watch and learn.
I was going to ask you, because you've been in the poker industry for quite some time, do you still feel like there's a, because poker's monstrous, I mean, there's so many people that are playing, but do you still feel, Tony, that, you know, when you're talking about a tournament or I'm talking about a tournament, that you still have newbies out there that want to get involved that have never been?
For sure. And I think during the pandemic, I think a lot of people, when they were at home, right, they were, you know, looking for something to do. And I think a lot of people picked up poker, you know, online, like going to the .nets or, you know, WPT has, you know, the club WPTs, the pay, you know, the freer, you know, I think they subscription sites, right?
Right.
We go on and learn how to play there. And I think a lot of people did that. And then after things started to open back up, they came out. And with that, you know, we've seen a lot of new players come out onto the scene. You know, poker is still popular. I mean, even 20 years after the moneymaker boom, you're still seeing players, you know, come out in waves. And, you know, it's a game that isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
One of the real good things that I think is really cool about poker, during the holidays or during downtime, everyone's like, you know, everything's closed. What am I going to do? Well, I was looking at your schedule, and anybody could look at it. SHRPO.com is the website. That's SHRPO.com. You guys have tournaments coming up during that so-called downtime. I think December 26th to the 30th, right? So you probably get pretty big fields for that?
Yeah, the Fun in the Sun, you know, when I was the tournament director in Hollywood, always a popular tournament, continues on that path with the 11th annual event, as you mentioned, starting December 26th. I know Jason put together and Bill put together a nice schedule again with six trophy events and over $200,000 in guaranteed prize pools. So it's always a great event. Like you said, people are in town. You know, college kids are out of school and looking to play some tournaments, and you get a nice mix of players from out of state, locals, and it's just a great time and short series, but a lot of money to be given away, and it's one of those can't miss events where you can win a trophy.
So right after my poker tournament in January, which is going to be January 10th. You guys are having another major series here.
Yeah, the 2023. Wow, it's almost here.
Right.
The Lucky Hearts Poker Open, 43 events, over $5 million in guarantees. The championship event will be a $3,500 buy-in with a $2 million guarantee running January 20th through the 24th. Once again, Jason Heidenthal, Bill Mason putting together another amazing schedule that players can check out on SHRPO.com. And everything's ready to rock and roll for the new year.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, Tony. I'm looking forward to winning my own tournament tonight, 6 p.m. cards in the air right here in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Tony Burns, the director of poker marketing. It's always good to hear your voice. And I would say let's discuss all the Marlins free agents moves, because I know you're a big Marlins fan, but yeah, we just discussed them all. So
yeah, I think we covered it all, Andy.
Take care, my friend.
All right, you too, buddy.
All right, I really hope to see so many of you out here tonight for the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. Cards in the air at 6 p.m., and there will be a minimum of $10,000 guaranteed in the prize pool. It's $150 to buy in. And if you do get lucky and knock me out, I'm going to give you seats on the glass for the Panthers-Rangers, 5 p.m. January 1st with lounge access. That'll get you free food, free drinks, and, again, unbelievable seats right there first row on the glass, New Year's Day for the Panthers and Rangers. All thanks to the Workers' Comp Legal Center. All right, well, that's all the time I have for this Tuesday afternoon. I will do it again tomorrow after I win my poker tournament tonight. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.